Good morning, everyone. Good evening and good afternoon, to listeners all over the world. Can you hear me well, guys? Let me know in the chat if you're hearing me, if you're listening to this chat. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon. We're delivering our message all over the world, so it is just right to tell all the time zones of everyone. So while waiting for Paul, is having a technical issue. I'd like to say to everyone that thank you for joining us. This is our episode 47 of DNP Unlocked, and it's called The Cost of Creating Your Contract. This is a very hot topic and very let's say sensitive to a lot of people, possibly to most people who have left already, their former employers, or who are still on the process, or currently are working. So just disclaimer here, we are not lawyers who will be giving a legal advice, but these are all just a nursing standpoint or nursing perspective or an employee perspective input. Again, we are not lawyers to discuss your contract. We are not lawyers to review your contract, but we are here to guide you on what are the common costs involve when a person or a foreign nurse recruit is terminating the contract. Maybe the good cause or bad cause, or what if the employer terminated the contract? What are the implications of it? So this is a very good topic. Again, just disclosure, we are not lawyers. We are not, this is not your legal professional advice. I personally am a contract nurse for 18 years. I'm going 19 years now. So contracts for me is something that I'm very familiar with when it comes to nursing employment contracts. So good morning, Paul. Good afternoon and good evening. How are you, Paul?
Good morning, Kay. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear
Sorry. I was
you.
having technical issue. I had to restart my computer. Anyway, I'm happy to be in. How are you, Kay?
It's doing great, Paul. It's nice and sunny here on the East Coast. Finally, sun started to come out. I hope our friends from the affected regions of Hurricane Helene is starting to get back on their feet and receiving the help they need. It's been a
Right,
long,
right.
long week last week that we are having weather issues. So please take care of yourself and always reach out for help if you need one.
Yeah,
How's the
and
weather?
also,
Yes.
weather is good, but I'd just like to say on top of that, Kate.
Paul got kicked out. He is having some technical issues. So while waiting for Paul, I recommend everyone who's watching this show to make sure that you get a pen, write down some notes, because you might be getting a lot of information from here. So take down notes. Okay, while waiting for Paul, we'd like to discuss in here that the cost of quitting your contract is not really always, beneficial to the nurses or non-beneficial to the nurse or employer. There's three segments of this issue that we really want to discuss. So the first part is the nurses part. The second part is the recruiter side. If you use a recruitment company outside your employer, so there is that recruiter part. There is also the third part, which is called the employer side. If you are going with a staffing company, most likely your employer and recruiter will be the same. However, if you go for a direct hire that uses a third-party vendor to process your immigration documents and bring you here, then you might be having, two other people. If you're in the nurse, you might have a two different contract. One is the recruitment and one is the employment. There you go.
Hello.
Again.
Hello, sorry. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but my computer screen froze and I got disconnected. Anyway, okay, what I was saying earlier, I'm sorry to get you interrupted with that, but listen to forecasts and evacuate if necessary. More than anything, your life is what's important. So I know there's been a lot of several disturbances, weather disturbances, Kay. Like, last a month or two ago, we had bad weather disturbance here in Houston, but thankfully everything was good. Not as bad as what I've heard with the last hurricane that affected Florida and North Carolina. So I hope our peers there are doing okay.
Yep, I heard that there is another storm coming to Florida, so just prepare. Florida is like Philippines. You're always getting bombarded by hurricane. Hurricane is the term that we use if it's originating from Atlantic Ocean. However, we use typhoons if it's coming from Pacific Ocean. So going back, Paul, I was just giving our introduction to our topic for today, and I have I've been letting them know the disclosure is we are not your lawyers. This is not your professional legal advice, and the things that we're going to be discussing here are purely from a nursing perspective, from the nurse's perspective, who is signing up the contracts, and any contract you sign, even without a lawyer yet, you should be understanding quite a lot of numbers from that employment contract, because nursing contracts are not as complicated as I would say, not as complicated as other industry. So nursing employment has a lot of things that you should be understanding already, and some legal jargons needs to be addressed, of course, with a lawyer. However, for me, nursing contracts or your employment contract, it's like a human body. So you cannot just look at one part. You always have to assess each part because each of them are all interconnected. And people have been asking me, Kay, can you look at this termination contract here? I mean, termination clause. And I'll let them know is, I'll be honest with you, I cannot assess a full thing by just looking at one piece. When you're looking at this job offers, when you're looking at memorandum of agreement, they're all the same. There are legal documents, and the whole piece needs to be reviewed, just not one sentence. Not, they cannot just nitpicky. You cannot say, Paul, I have stomach pain. Okay, well, you then take something for your stomach. No, it doesn't go like that, right? You have to assess, are you throwing up? You have fever? Do you have diarrhea? It's like, hey, I'm throwing up. Okay, we'll fix your vomiting, but did you assess if you're having diarrhea too, right? So
Correct.
it's all connected. You cannot look at it at one portion. You have to look at the whole picture, especially when termination clauses are there. You have to involve all your bonuses or your signing stuff, things that you get from your company. So, Paul, we start from we start
There it
from
is.
termination. Everybody in the social media saying it's buyout, 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 buyout. Is this the right term that we should be really using, Paul?
All right. Well, I don't know the right term, but I think to say, because the other term that they use is breach,
Yes.
but I think for me on both ends it doesn't sound nice. If you sign a contract and in good faith, the employer actually hired you in good faith, gave you a very competitive contract, gave you all the bonuses, only for you to buy out so you can get the green card. So, in a legal perspective, maybe correct, but what we always say, ethically, is it also morally correct? Because the immigrant visa is meant for to attract immigrants so we can fill shortages, like nursing shortages, right? That's why they're expediting the process. But to sign a contract and honestly with an intent to buy it out, I don't think that's morally correct. So I don't think the consul would want to hear about that as well during interview. If they say, are you going to buy out the contract within 3 years? It's kind of like you're buying green card too. So whatever term they use, it doesn't sit well with me. Unless the only time that I'd say you actually go breach the contract is if the employer is abusive to you or doing human trafficking, federal or state violations, that's totally fine. But there are costs that you need to know with terminating your contract. We're talking about the nurse terminating their contract, right? Not employers terminating the contract or something like that. But what do you think about the breach or buyout term, Kay? I'll pass the ball back to you.
So for me, when you receive an, let's say, apply for a tourist visa, right?
Yep.
You come here as a tourist, and the immigration officer will ask you, what's the purpose of your visit to the United States? So when you answer, for me, is to do tour, right? So I want a tour, I want to visit the United States. So that's the right thing, you know, because you're applying for the right visa for the right purpose of it. So, right. However, if you are going to apply for a tourist visa with the intention to work, and the officer will tell you what's the purpose of your, to, you know, visiting the United States, and you tell them, well, I want to look for work, for a job while there, right? What do you think will happen to your visa application? It's not going to be approved because you're not using the right visa for the right purpose of it. For employment-based visa, which is your H-1B for your EB-3, those are employment-based. So which means that when you apply for those visa, your intention is to be employed by your sponsor. So for me, that is the main purpose. Now, if you tell the immigration officer, if the immigration officer asks you, you have a 3 years contract here. Okay, are you going to finish this, right? So what if they ask you that? What is your response? So if you say, yes, I will finish it, then your intention to finish is there, right? However, if the immigration officer asks you, you know, you have a 3 year contract in here, will you be able to finish it? And then right there and then you tell the immigration officer, no, I plan to buy it out after 1 year, right? You know, you already have the intent before you are being given that visa. Do you think the immigration officer will approve your sponsorship? No, right? So the word there is intent, Paul. So this is what we want to emphasize to the nurses. If you have no intention to finish it and you told the officer that you have intention to finish it, then you're not giving the officer a correct response. And for me, this is, you know, you're technically acquiring your application through fraudulent information. And if you look at those forms, it actually tells you that you swore that these are true information. So if you're signing those documents of application and you are actually not giving the correct response, you're hiding something, then it can be a case of, you know, fraudulent information that's being given out. So if you acquire a visa for fraudulent purposes, fraudulent way, then absolutely you can get revoked at one point, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is saying just if the nurse has the intention, intention to terminate the contract even before being given that visa, right? That is a problem there. However, there's a big difference when the nurse arrives here and have the intention to finish it 3 years. However, like you mentioned, Paul, circumstances that were not perceived early by the nurse, let's say that the employment hours are not what was promised, or there are, let's say, salaries that were changed upon arrival to a less amount and the nurse does not like it. However, the salary can change, go up and down, right, Paul? If it goes up, of course, it's a change, but is it a favorable change for you that you will agree to it? If the answer is yes, then there's no breach of contract there by your employer, right? I mean, who does complain about getting a higher pay? Nobody will complain about that.
Right.
However, if the salary goes down and you ask your recruiter, that's not what was in my job offer or employment terms, and you do not agree to that, then again, this is out of your control. And and you might want to terminate it because there were changes after you already received your visa that was not, that you did not learn until you get here, then it's not your fault, right? So there is, again, you had the intention to work for that company. However, the employer changed the terms and it was not agreed upon by both sides. So that's something that you can discuss with your lawyer. What are the options for you to have? Because you don't want to be put in a situation where, the employer will call the USCIS and say, "Hey, she did not or he did not work here. As soon as he got here, as soon as she got here, she ran away and she did not fulfill her promise to work with us." So there are a lot of those things that actually is boiling around. But and then the nurse will say, "I'm gonna buy out my contract." Well, buying out, by meaning of buying out, is you are actually paying to get out of your obligations. Okay, you had obligations, legal obligations. So if you're buying it out, it sends a negative impact that it is your fault.
Correct. Which,
So yeah, so it's not something that I do recommend to be used, especially when you are in the situation that you are the one that's actually unfavored here. Okay. So the right term I recommend people is really saying that you just are terminating. That's it. Terminating. Right? That's
Just,
simple. Usually our nursing documentation call is like the simpler, the better.
And also consult a lawyer because, like I said, Kate, sorry for interrupting you. Like the word buyout doesn't sit well with me because it also sends a signal that you probably have a preliminary intent to buy it out anyway. So you're looking for a buyout contract, buyout term, which means are you trying to buy out your way from the contracts so you can get the green card? So which means are you buying the green card? You know what I mean? Which is not the intent of the immigrant visa. So just be careful, nurses. If you are trying to find an employment in the US in good faith, you are signing a contract with the employer in good faith, both of you, the entities, the employer and the employee. Or the petitioner and petitionee, that you both are going to fulfill the contract terms, which for employee to finish the contract in the name of being employed or petitioned for immigrant visa, because in the first place, the immigrant visa would not proceed without an employer, right? Because you need an employer to immigrate because it's an employment-based visa. On the side of employer, it's to follow rules and laws and regulation when providing you the job, that is, anti-bullying, anti-discrimination, equal opportunity, paying wages correctly, giving you safe staffing ratio, safe working environment that meets the requirements of OSHA, that you have FMLA benefits and all that. So it's good faith. Nobody says, I'm signing this nurse up because I wanna sabotage the contract while when they're here. There's probably very, very few employers would do that because they're also signing, these documents with USCIS, right? So they don't want to be in violation too, but also for nurses as well. So when you get into a contract, it's good faith. So saying, what's my buyout terms? I think that sends a wrong signal that you actually want to buy out the contract, that you're not willing to fulfill the intent of the contract. So if you already had that intent and you went to the consul and swore an oath that you're saying the truth and said, I'm going for this job and I'm gonna finish it, and you have an intent to buy it out within the first 3, 6 months. We've heard a lot of these about this case. So maybe there's no legal implication right now. But the more immigrants who do this, okay, eventually the federal government is going to catch up, right? USCIS is going to start like, hold on, we're advocating for these immigrants to get a job, but they're also the ones leaving the contracts and leaving these hospitals to actually hire them because some of these hospitals are actually in dire need, right? For example, okay, where I went, the offer was like 25. When I started, it went up to 26, 27. Because as soon as I started, there was a market. Was that market
change in the inflation? Change.
Yeah. So they have to match the market needs or market something analysis, which means every now and then your company would bump up the rates or lower it down. Hopefully, not lower it down to meet the market needs. But at that time. Plus, I also have differentials from the ER. So it actually went up to like 31, 32 an hour. At that time, if you look at it, it's a little low compared to if I'm in California or if I'm in Houston, big city in Texas, right? Or in New York, because it should be 40, 50, 60 New York, right? But it matches the cost of living. So I really didn't have a problem with that. And I did my research that it is actually the market level at that hospital. But when I did my PRN in another hospital, obviously much better rates because it's PRN. What I'm trying to say is what I was getting is matching what nurses was getting at that level of experience, at that level of nursing experience and unit. So which means I didn't have a problem with my contract at all. There was no reason for me to breach it, and I did not, because it was paying me the right money. And I was also in the low cost of living community, but also the community is also high needs. So they actually hired me because nobody would fill the spot. Because if there was someone who would fill the spot, they would not hire me, right? So that is the reason why these hospitals are desperate to get immigrant nurses, because they need nurses to fill the spot. They have numbers that they need to fulfill, right? So imagine if you get into the contract in good faith, assuming that you want to finish the contract and then leave the hospital when they're actually dire needs. Say, for example, you're in critical hospital facility or Indian nursing facility, right? Or indigent facilities or high needs facilities. And then you leave them because you want to buy out the contract because you want to move somewhere close to your family or with higher pay. Then they can get after you, especially if these are federal government or federal facilities, you know, like in the Indian communities. So something like that. So just be careful. I really don't like the term buyout because it sends a signal that you actually want to buy the contract, which means to me, and I'm a nurse. I'm not an immigrant lawyer. I'm not an immigrant officer, your immigration officer. It sends a signal to me that you want to pay for the green card. You know, like, can I just pay for the green card? Can I pay $50,000 so I can get the green card? So then it doesn't meet the requirements of the employment-based visa, because employment-based green card, right? So something like that. That was just my point, Kay.
Yeah, it's very important that these nurses need to understand that it can harm them. And once actually that word has been used, and there was no justification to actually to say that, hey, why are you quitting this job, right? So when a contract is terminated, there's two types: either if it's a good cause or a bad cause. Okay, a good cause is an example for a good cause from the nurses. For me, I'm a traveling nurse, and there was one time I was in the contract and I got sick. You know, because I never had that flu vaccine ever before. And I said, it's my first time. And I guess my body reacted to it. I just got fever. And I told my employer, I might be out for a whole week. Okay, can I just extend my contract for another week just to cover for those times that I'm out? And my employer said, sure, we can just do that. Okay. So there was no intention for me to really call out. But unfortunately, there are things that I did not foresee that's coming, which is called illness or medical reasons. Another example is you're driving and there was a bad accident on the road and you got yourself hurt and you're going to be out for 5 months to 6 months, right? Medical reasons are not, you know, are not really a bad cause. It can be a good cause where, hey, you know what, I've been disabled. The job I'm at, it only asks me to do jobs that are actually caring for these patients, which means I need physically fit for this. However, there is no accommodations that were given to me. So, or let's say we're gonna just terminate, we're just gonna extend your contract, get better, and we'll extend your contract when you feel better, come back, right? If you are totally disabled for that time period. But if you get better, of course you come back. So there again, and some employers will let you go. Some don't let you go, right? So for the nurses, there are certain reasons that you can terminate your contract on a good reason. There's a good reason. And sometimes it's written in those contracts as well. What are the things, what are the things that will be a good reason for the contract to be terminated? Right? Or if the employer does not need you anymore, he said, hey, we don't need you anymore, we're going to be terminating your contract. And majority of these contracts are at will anyway, at will, which means if the employer did not need you anymore and they just say, unfortunately, we're all full staff already, then your contract is terminated. The other part of it, if you're being terminated because there is a violation of the policy and procedure, that can be a nurse's fault. Your employer is terminating you. However, some bad cause or the bad reason for you being terminated is, say, a nurse have raised up many concerns of safety, and because the manager or the director of nursing did not like that nurse because she keeps on raising, safety concerns, and we're just gonna terminate her, and we're gonna say poor performance. That's a bad way of terminating an employee. That because they're retaliating on you, or they say, oh, we received this foreign nurse and we don't like her. We're all in a specific people in here. Let's say you're the only Filipino nurse coming into an all-American staff, and you feel like you're being discriminated, and they terminated you, right? Because there were write-ups that were inaccurate that was written on you, and you feel like you're discriminated. So we don't know that unless you seek a legal advice, legal consultation. So there's good cause and bad cause. So it's never the nurse's fault all the time, and it's never the employer's fault all the time. So again, there are costs, I mean the reason there are reasons why a contract is being terminated. When a contract is being terminated, I'd like everybody to understand that sometimes it's not the nurse's fault, and sometimes it's the employer's fault, or sometimes it's not the employer's fault, but it's a recruiter's fault. And sometimes it's not the recruiter's fault. It is the nurse's fault. So there are three factors in the picture that you will have to always assess for that. Poor performance. I've heard this many times because the nurse never had an experience and took a job in a, let's say, level one trauma center.
I've heard a lot of these too. Critical care and ER nurses approached us, got fired basically. Okay, so that's unfortunate because they're still in contract or they're still settling down and all that. They might not have enough savings. So that's one thing you need to be on guard to, nurses. If I'm just going to interrupt, okay, very, very quickly, just one piece of advice. If you sign up for a contract, you better make sure that what you sign up for, you know what you sign up for, especially experience wise. If you say you're an ICU nurse, you want to make sure that you're actually, have practiced ICU, because like I've heard nurses, they said they're ER, but when employers verify their experience, it's not actually ER, it's more like OPD, something outpatient, something like that. So it's different, right? Because the practice is not matching. So if your preceptors and your educators and your charge nurses find out that you're not matching it and they need you for that spot and you're not matching it, they might report you. And the hospital has, especially at will states like Texas K, one of the biggest employers for immigrant nurses, because we have one of the most needs in the US, right? They can fire you literally, like the next day, they can say, we're done. they're just going to write off whatever they spent for you. They'd rather do that than pay for liability if you miss something, because that's going to be a $1 million lawsuit, if that makes sense, Kay, right? So for a company, they'd rather lose $100,000 than get sued for $1 million if a nurse makes a mistake. So they will really fire you, Kay. They will really cancel your contract if they think you don't match what they need. So please be careful. Only sign up for units that you're actually properly trained for. And you don't want to get fired too, because they can fire you at will if they're at will employers. Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes the nurse puts in the right resume, right, Paul? And this is something that the nurses will really have to be very careful. When you put in your resume and you go for interview, make sure your resume is in front of you, okay? Because sometimes I've heard this happen, Paul, that recruiters or the middlemen are adjusting. Not all of it, but we have identified a couple and we have verified a couple that actually had some, you know, revisions on the resume of the nurse, and that revised never landed the nurse at all, and it's being submitted to the employer. It's kind of like making the nurse's resume more marketable, where in the reality they don't have those experience. And when I saw the difference of the two, and I'm like, wait a minute, you didn't have this experience. I mean, where did it come from? So the nurse attending the interview were being asked questions that she never had experience with. And now she's stuck. Like, what am I gonna say, right? Yeah. Right. She wants the job too, but then she's in a position now. Like, where did that information come from, right? So, again, if there are fraudulent information that's being submitted on your end, sometimes the nurse has no knowledge on that. You have to make sure that everything is transparent during interview. Okay, when you ask questions, when the interview happens, it's not only them asking you question, it's also you asking them question. Okay, it's your responsibility to know the job. It's your responsibility to understand the picture of the job. You might not know 100% what's going on with this job, but you have to make sure that you're writing down what are the cases that we have, how many patient ratio. Okay, am I gonna be floated to the different departments? And if I get floated to different departments, will I get training for those? Okay, importantly, training. How long is my orientation? Since I don't have an experience in the United States, how long will be my experience for? If your department is small, then of course, sometimes you might not need 3 months orientation. But if your department has bigger or harder acuity, higher acuity, let's say ICU, right, definitely you need some training there and guidance. When I arrived in the United States, even if I had experience with the OR, I was really given like 3 months of orientation.
Same.
3 months, right? Some of them are saying, hey, you're good already. After your 1 month, you're good already. You know what you're doing. Regardless if I'm good or not, I still need to be evaluated after my 90 days or my three months is the usual thing here in the United States. So, you know, some people will be like, oh, hey, I'm very good, I'm going to show off all my skills, right?
Right.
Then, oh, you're very good, we're going to promote you to charge nurse. Can you do charge nurse on the second month? Right? Because they show off, you know, they call it Bibo in the Philippines. Correct. You know, you're to Bibo. And
they're like, they know Filipinos will, you know, will like promotions too, right?
Yeah, I got promoted already. Wow, it's a charge nurse. Wow, right? But the question is, were you trained on the administrative roles, right?
Yeah.
You need to get a competency-based orientation or a checklist or an onboarding thing that will tell you that you are actually, what do you call this one? That you were actually trained as a charge nurse role, because charge nurse role has administrative jobs that you need to know. So you need to get that. There's nothing wrong about promoting so quick because you like it or you have a career goal. However, if you do something wrong and the company says you did something wrong and we had a problem here. Now it will affect now your performance, right?
Correct.
Or are you doing tic-tac? You're too excited. You do tic-tac in your charge desk and you take videos and now a patient walk back behind you, right? A patient started
and recording your TikTok too, right?
Yeah.
And
right.
Now the patient's recording you too.
So now you are going to be terminated because of misconduct. So they can terminate you
TikTok
anytime.
At work.
Yeah, and it can cost, right? So now we know now that there are good reasons for termination of a contract, either your side or your employer side, mm-hmm. or bad reasons of terminating you or your employer. Now, that's just the problem now, Paul. A lot of these nurses would sign into contract saying liquidated damages, right? It doesn't say the amount there, but it will just say in their contract, liquidated damages, mm-hmm. including direct costs, okay? Direct cost is just saying that this is the exact amount of money we spend on you, and we can prove it. We have a receipt here. These are the direct costs. But there are also indirect costs, right? We can start with direct costs, Paul.
Yep.
An example for that is if I recruit you locally here, Paul, I'm your boss. Hey, Paul, mm-hmm. I want to hire you as a nurse practitioner.
Let's define locally, which means I'm already from U.S.,
yes,
right?
Correct. And I'm not going to sponsor you. Yes.
Yeah, and you're my employer and you want to hire me from U.S.
Correct, so Paul. I'm not sponsoring you. I'm not petitioning you for a visa. Mm-hmm. But I do want to hire you. Let's say I'm your boss. Paul, I'm going to give you a salary of $50 an hour.
I decline right away. Sorry.
All right, Paul. Negotiations. All right. $70 an hour.
Negotiation 101. Yeah. Let's start with 70 at least.
Okay. $70 an hour. But, Paul, I'm going to give you a $50,000 sign in bonus. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to also, you're from Texas. I want you to come here to Maryland. And I'm going to give you a $10,000 relocation allowance as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that's about 60,000 total that I'm shelling out for the sign in and the relocation. I can also do $1,000 reimbursement to say, you know, you're buying your furniture, you're buying including life insure, right? Life insure, you're going to transfer your taxes to here. So let's say I spend for Paul $50,000 for signing bonus that I gave up when he started his job. I gave $1,000 for relocation allowance and $1,000 for reimbursement as well. So now I gave Paul a total of $52,000, right? And then Paul, I kind of like do not like Paul, and I'm kind of giving him like 100 patients to one nurse on the first month. And Paul, will you stay for more job? I mean, will you stay with me for another one more year? You know,
I'm probably contacting the other hospital in the same city.
Yeah, what do you think, Paul, will I do to you now if you quit after 2 months being with me?
Like if I stay?
No, if you quit.
Oh, you're gonna ask the money back because you spent $60,000 for recruitment. And more.
Yeah. And more, exactly. So you have to.
You're entitled to get that money back because I did not finish the contract.
Yeah, but Paul, remember I gave you $50,000 sign-in bonus. You probably just received. You only receive minus taxes on that. Let's say you only received $35,000, right?
Yeah, in tranches. Yeah.
Yeah. How much are you gonna return to me? $35,000.
Well, I'm gonna call the lawyer so we can prorate it because I still work 2 months.
Right, and but
you can ask me for the whole money back, right? But with me personally, I'm gonna say, well, I worked 2 months, so we're probably gonna prorate it. But you have the right to ask me for the whole money back. Depends on what the term said.
Yeah, the whole $50,000, not after taxes, the whole $50,000. And a lot of nurses Yeah, right. They were like be shocked, like, hey, you gave me, I only receive, let's say, 35,000 from the 50,000 signing bonus, but doesn't matter, you have to return the 50. So that is, well,
We
Paul
need to
is
contact
knowledgeable.
we need to contact Uncle Sam too, because Uncle Sam got the pot.
Yeah, he got the pot, and now it's not my income already, right? And I have to spend. But these are those important factors that actually a lot of our nurses miss, that there are things that you might not understand, especially taxation, you know, and what are the fees that are involved on hiring a person. But since Paul is in the United States, he knows what to do. Well, how about those?
Call
Right, call a lawyer. That's the right thing to do. Get a
a
lawyer. You know, don't settle for he say, she say.
Thank you, LegalZoom.com.
Right. So what about for international nurses? And
This
those
is,
contracts have liquidated damages.
This is where it gets complicated, Tay, because there are direct and indirect causes for immigration, and there's no ceiling, right? This is why CJFNS as an alliance, CNS is advocating for nurses, because anyone can just put a price, right? Your
Yes.
frivolous amounts, right? $150,000, $400,000. They're asking for nurses that amount of money. I don't even earn that much to pay for. Why would you ask me $400,000? I don't. That's not even my annual. Like that's gonna. Like if I'm a new nurse, that's gonna take me like what? If I'm only earning 60,000 a year, 70,000 a year at Texas rate, or 90,000 a year, it's gonna take me like 5 years. But it
Yeah.
happens. It is.
More than 5 years, definitely. I mean, a lot of our Filipino nurses are sending money back home, and it's not enough for them
Using
to
tap tap
survive.
send.
Tap-tap send. There you go. You're advertising. An example, Paul. When you came here to the United States, what did your employer pay for you, Paul?
So they paid for my EB3 premium processing. I don't think I was premium processed at all because I was retrogression and I got abandoned. But definitely the EB3, the whole thing, the only thing I paid for as far as EB3 is concerned is the actual green card. So that is after your interview, you pay for a green card. That way when you get here, they'll process your green card. So that's like, I forgot, $200, $500. And then the other costs was mine, NCLEX, IELTS, visas, screen. I got I think $1,000 reimbursement when I got here, plus a month of living expense for transportation and rent or something. But that's about it. So I got $1,000 reimbursement. But I
And
got
you're good.
the unit of my choice, ED, because it was hard to qualify for ED before.
If you're gonna give that a ballpark, how much you think your employer actually had spent for you on the direct cost of it?
I know the lawyer was expensive because I researched their costs. So I'd say the lawyer alone for the whole process, imagine retrogression, they have to pay every time the lawyer had to email me. So it's probably 5 to 10,000. And the
Just for the
lawyer was,
lawyer.
the lawyer was thorough. You know, okay, 1 week before my interview, they sent me a packet from the States, overnighted it from the States. It has everything with paper clips and all that. If they ask for your credential verification, here's the copy. If they ask for your original I-140 before we what's this took over your contract, this is it. This is your new I-140. It's like this thick with all the paperwork, including my education, including the offer, including the financial stuff of the hospital that they can petition me, including the lawyer's information. So, and then we went through interview, like simulation, like, okay, if I ask you this, where did you find your employer? How did you find your employer? Or something like that. So we went through that. They were very thorough. So I would say lawyer alone, probably the least is 5,000 because it's per stage, right? I would say it's honestly around that time, 5 to 10,000, right? I was just based on my research. But that's not including the visa processes, the EB3 and all that, the receipts and all that. So I'd honestly say around probably 10 to 20,000 for everything. But okay, it took almost 10 years. So the company was also losing money while waiting for me. You know what I mean? Because you can't buy time, right? Yes. So in the name of business,
you can pay time. The time you will pay the time of the lawyer. Yeah. You cannot buy time for yourself.
You cannot buy time. Have to pay for it. So in the business, when your money stalls, right, and you don't get that money back, either it's a bad debt or that's a money that's not gaining anything, interest or all. You know what I mean? So that's a money loss, because you could have put that money in a CD or in an investment money and it would still give you money. So they're kind of like, they're not investing their money to the stock market or all that. They're investing it with me, but they're also losing money because I'm still not here. Years later, yeah. I'm still not here. So nobody's earning money, right? The only person that's earning money here was the lawyer, but my recruiter was not earning money until I get here. The hospital is not earning money from me because they don't have me here yet, right? So something like that. So they're investing for me for the future. So that's also the indirect cost of recruiting me, because they waited for me. They could have hired someone else here, or while waiting for me for 10 years. Can you imagine that? They could have just paid someone 2 years for ADN school and made them their scholar for $30,000. And after 2 years, they can hire the nurse as an RN here. But they waited for me for 10 years. So I'm still grateful for that, because they could have just, you know, said, you know, we're going to offer 10 scholarship for RNs here, because it's the same amount of waiting for these nurses in the Philippines anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So that's indirect cost.
Indirect cost for it. So if you're listening to this, there's like a direct cost, which is the actual thing that they spend. Cost. And there's an indirect cost, which is the interest or the, you know, the inflation that is hurting their money. And then when they get here, you know, it's 10 years before they see their money back. So, you know, the business recruitment is a business. And it's still a business, when you're in the business, there's a return of investment.
We call you still need ROI. To make money. Yes.
You still need to make money, right? So for those, that money needs to adjust to the inflation as well, for the interest. Correct, you know? So how much is the tap send peso to US dollar today, Paul?
I think today is how much is it? $55 pesos per dollar. I'm not sure. Dollar. I'm gonna check. Okay. Yeah, I didn't open my app today, but yeah.
So if you're listening and you're from the Philippines, just imagine, like Paul said, $5,000 just legal fees, because it took him 10 years to get here. So the legal fees, you know, going back and forth, the lawyers, every time that the company uses the lawyer back and forth, it accumulates that money already. It's being charged. So let's say 55 pesos to $1, you multiply that by $5,000, right? For just the legal fees. So you're talking about 275 pesos. I mean, 275,000 pesos.
Pesos, yep.
And how much is a nurse's, how much does nurse earn in a year in the Philippines, Paul?
At that time with me, it's like 8,000 to 10,000 pesos a month. So 270,000, 270,000 pesos is like 3 years salary, or two and a half years.
Divided by 3 years, you're talking about 91,000 pesos a year salary.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And like it that. Means, yeah, you're technically earning, your entire 3 years earning is just the legal fee.
The legal fees for the lawyer.
Yes, if you are going to actually wait a long time too, and there's so many back and forth. Let's say, Paul, the nurse applied for the job and the I-140 was submitted with the premium processing. Okay, so if you're listening to this, get your calculator. Okay, and then after they filed your I-140, you change your mind.
This, okay? Is this yeah.
Yeah, this is an example that actually was shared, you know, this is was shared to us. How much will it cost? This is like a $12,000 for a lot of fees that were anticipated, okay?
Yep.
And And you can see here,
That's literal. That's not a
12,500.
lot. Yeah.
It's not even the immigration fee yet, right? So these are like, well, we'll help you for your nurse verification, your licensing, your visa screen. So these are all the costs that are involved if your agency or your employer is actually sponsoring a lot. Okay, a lot. Say, hey, Ms. K, I don't have money, so I went for staffing company and they sponsored for everything. There's nothing wrong for sponsoring everything for you, but there is something wrong when you are accepting terms of your employment that you don't understand. If you understand that these are the fees that actually they're paying for you, then that's okay. Okay. But if you're gonna be signing contracts that you don't understand, so like you see that CGFN and CESP 450. You probably did not, you probably applied for a job and you did not do research of the costs of all these things. So you just went for the agency because it's easier and it's convenient for me to use my agency to pay for everything. Well, this is an example of fees. We're not even in the immigration costs yet, right? So this is when they do all those processing of credentials, medical examination, milestone bonus. Well, I think this is dependent on the company is giving you some allowances as well. Okay. But for example, you can take this down, Jax. What if the person is going, what's the employer is going to give you immigration sponsorship? And you can look into USCIS, the costs of that. And an example for this is what do you call this one? The immigration alone sponsorship can be $700, right?
Is
And
that I-140?
the
I can
premium
check more.
processing, yeah, right? So the premium processing is $2,500, right?
Is that
2,500.
2,500 now?
Yeah, I think it was, or they increased the price already. I believe
It
it's
used to be
2,000.
like 700 something during my time, but
Yeah.
that was
Yeah.
years ago, okay? I'm
Okay.
so sorry.
Well, during my year, it wasn't premium processing. So.
But premium processing doesn't expedite your petition. I mean, as far as retrogression wise, that's a misconception.
If there's retrogression, there the premium processing, if there's retrogression and your priority
It's
date
still
is
retrogression.
way far, like more than a year, I don't see any benefit of a premium processing because.
Because the what nurses don't understand is there's three major steps: USCIS, National Visa Center, and consular offices or embassy. The premium processing is only for USCIS. After you get approved, you go to National Visa Center. If there's retrogression, there's no visa, then National Visa Center, you'll still stall there. So that's just a heads up because people are like, "What? I premium processed. Why am I not getting visa?" Because your priority date is still backlogged or something like that.
Okay. So if you're watching right now and you have a calculator in your hand, okay, so imagine that the slide that we showed earlier, that was already 12,500. If the employer is already sponsoring for all your NCLEX review, NCLEX exam, IELTS review, IELTS exam, or PTE or whatever
Wow,
English exam. So
it's 2,800.
12,500, how much is the TAP-TAP 10 times 55, right?
Yes.
You're already talking about 687,500. If you also, if the employer also giving you like $8,000 bonus, right? Let's say you can see that the milestone bonus that we showed, right? Nurses did not understand that. What's that bonus? Well, if the company's giving you bonuses, we're going to give you housing costs or travel allowance to come here. You got your visa already. We're going to give you allowances, then that will count to it, okay? But let's say you did not receive that 8,000 bonus, right? So 12,500 minus the 8,000 bonus you did not receive. So just by the agency sponsoring your NCLEX, IELTS, English exam, your their processing for your credentials evaluation, your license endorsement. So $4,500 times 55, that's already 247,500 pesos. Okay. Again, 247,500 just to process your credentials. We're not yet we're not yet in immigration costs. Like Paul said, hey, there's legal fees. And how much are the legal fees? Let's say the lawyer's fees will be $5,000, right? Or less. I would say 5,000 is a little bit high end, Paul, because your processing took long. But I would say, the average right now, let's say 2,500 to 3,000 if it's massive. Okay, so massive. Okay. Massive, what do you call it? Just work within the 2 years period. We're just talking about 2 to 3 years, okay? So we're already 7,000 with the lawyer's fee and all the credentialing. And then you're going to add 2,800. Oh, 2,800 now, not 2,500. 2,800 for premium processing and 715 for that EB3. My calculator says 10,520 already.
Dollars.
$10,000. Okay. This is only when up to the point that my employer actually sponsored me I-140 EB3 premium processing. I'm not in the embassy interview yet, right? So I'm not in the consular part yet. I'm not yet on the arrival costs. So if you're going to multiply that, you change your mind after they sponsored you and they did your license verification and everything. So you're talking about 500,000 pesos already, right? So half million, just because you did not do your homework, it was convenient for you for your agency to process everything for you. That's already is 500,000 pesos. Okay, so
That's a
there
lot of
are a
money.
lot of fees. Now people are like, oh, they have not filed for me. But even if the agency has not filed for you, they already started the process and they probably have used the lawyers already and prepared your documents. So there is already a legal fee. It might not be half million, but definitely not 100 pesos, not 200 pesos. You're talking about thousands of US dollars already. Okay. But again, if this is a nurse problem, who's going to pay for this money? If the nurse is the one who's at fault for terminating the contract, then the nurse might have to incur some costs of it, the direct cost. Okay. But how about the indirect cost? Well, there might be also fees that they will put on you. That's why it's very important to know what, before you sign, what are those costs? Okay. So it's very important to know that because we're just in the Philippines. How about when you get here? Well, they give you signing bonus. They give you airfare too, $1,000 worth of airfare. They give you hotel accommodation for 2 weeks. That's already 2 weeks in the US for hotel accommodation. Can already get you to $1,000. Other fees, your medical fee, your green card fees, your premium processing, I mean, sorry, your lawyer's fee, signing bonus reimbursement, concierge. If they're the one who's looking for apartment for you, that costs money. And each person here, averagely, if you hire a person to look for those housing for you for a day, that might cost them $150 a day. Okay. For those concierge services, somebody picking you up from the airport. What if the airport's like 2 hours away because you're going to work in a rural setting? That Uber alone or taxi can cost more than $100 already. Right. So just from the airport to your apartment, that already can be like $200 from the airport to the apartment because somebody's assisting you.
All right.
Right. But if you hire Paul, that's going to be more, right? But if there's somebody who's selling you something, some insurance from the airport after arrival, well, it might be free.
With
Right?
free pansit upon arrival.
With free arrival, and then when you arrive in the United States, they are offering you to buy this insurance product right away from the airport, but they're going to give you free transport from your hotel, from your airport to the hotel, right? But then in exchange of that, you have to buy insurance from them. Well, this free, well, not really free because you have to pay that insurance now. So these are real life scenario. I'm not making this up. We have a lot of international nurses coming to the US and right there at the gate, they're being already sold, insurance product. upon arrival. So sad thing. But Paul, you know, the cost of quitting a contract, if it's the nurse's fault, can be a lot. Right. But there is a thing called reasonable cost. Reasonable cost is when the amount of money that they're asking you to pay back for all the things that they spend for is reasonable. You know, and you can see, you will be able to research that. But if what if they're Paul, they're asking you to pay for future profits losses, Paul?
Here's the thing, Kay, because I'm very particular with stuff like this, right? The burden of proof lies on the, how do you say that, plaintiff, the one who's suing you, right? So if the employer wants to sue me because I breached the contract, which I did not, right? But if I did, the burden of proof is with them. And it's up to the court or arbitrator to actually approve if it's actually correct. Because indirect cost is too muddled for me. Like, anyone can put a price on it, but can you actually defend that that's what it costs, right? They can say, you know, because you breached your contract, we have an incurred future income or profit losses, future recruitment fees, and you blah, 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 for amounting to $150,000. Well, good luck to that, because I'm going to bring up my lawyer and say, well, prove it then, right? Because but the thing there is they can bully nurses, Kay, because they might the problem with a lot of immigrant nurses, they're also scared to bring up a lawyer because they feel like they're going to be in trouble. You know, in Asia, in the Philippines particularly, having a lawyer yourself means you're already indicted or something. So there's a taboo. Like, no, I don't want to involve the lawyer. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want my license to be in trouble. But that's the only way to protect yourself. Some of these companies, bank on you being vulnerable and being scared to do anything to bully you and say, no, you got to pay us $100,000. It actually is $300,000. We're going to give you a heavy discount because we still like you, something like that. Don't lawyer up. They don't want you to lawyer up. But indirect cost for me is a joke, because how do you prove that I really cost you that amount of money, right? Because there's a nursing shortage. So whether you hire me or not, you will still not be able to fill up all the spots. Because if you would, you would have done a long time ago. So I did not cost you the indirect cost too, because there's a nursing shortage. But because you're the one suing me, you have the burden of proof, which means you have to prove to the court that I actually owe you that money. Right? So that's it. But for me, it's a joke. Okay. Indirect cost for me is a joke. Yes, there might be an indirect cost, but it's a joke because people can inflate that 3, 4, 10 times over. Remember the nurse who was sued for $400,000? That's a joke. No. That's not even that amount of money to hire a nurse and lose that amount of money because the nurse quit or the nurse couldn't complete a contract.
Right. So you're saying to me that you sued the nurse for $400,000. That's the value that the nurse brings in 3 years? So where is the salary again?
60,000 right? A year, right? So then,
right? I'm like, when I saw that one, I saw that lawsuit for $400,000 just because the nurse quit. I'm saying, I think they should charge that plaintiff because they're wasting the court's time.
They're going to put judgment. You in a meeting again,
right? So I'm like. But the good thing about that, Paul, is when these things happen, it gets educated. People are educated that sometimes there is a thing called malicious lawsuits. Malicious is done, you know, that they want to, a lot of that has been happening, malicious lawsuits here in the United States, just because the legal system is accessible and affordable to a lot of our people in the United States. So, and they file that. How much is the filing cost, right? It's not even $1,000 to file that. But the difference in the Philippines is it's hard to get a lawsuit started because it's so expensive to pay for lawyers. So when you are actually in the lawsuit in the Philippines, it means that you must have done something very bad, or the other side has money to put you to jail just because they want to, right?
Right,
And it's so
right.
expensive to hire a lawyer. So in the Philippines, it's not, I've never heard of a lawyer that's suing a nurse. I've never heard an
Sure.
employer that's suing a nurse just because they quit their job, right? So there's no
Yep.
such thing as that. But in the US, there's a lot of things like that. And majority of the victims here are actually the nurses. Although I can say also that there are also bad apples among the nursing profession, right? And in DNP, we're not talking about the bad apples of nursing profession. The ner bad apples in the nursing profession, I don't represent them because we represent ethical recruitment practice. Ethical recruitment, may you be a nurse or recruiter or an agency or an employer. Okay. So if you're the bad nurse, we're not for you. We're gonna tell your employer, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and
We're not
allocate.
advocating for bad nurses, to be
No,
clear.
no. Yeah, we're
No, because
not. We're not.
we're advocating for nurses who are actually working in good faith and
Yes.
are subjected to bullying or harassment from employers. Not the nurses who are actually coming here with intent to
Yeah.
commit fraud. No, we're
Yes.
not.
We're not for
No,
that. So
we're gonna
we're
encourage your employer to get after you if we have to, because that's also gonna, like, look, Kay, I want to interrupt you real quick. Look at what RK said here, and this is actually a very valid point. RK, thanks for your input. You seem knowledgeable about the topic, so thank you for joining us. But he said, or she, or I'm sorry, we don't have gender in the names, but nurses going with the intent to buy out their contract hurt future nurses because employers will reconsider if it's worth waiting 2 to 3 years for a nurse only for them to buy out their contract. This is the truth. Remember a lot of these hospitals mass hired during pandemic? And suddenly there's a pivot, right? They suddenly canceled nurses from that they're already hired. They abandoned them. They already paid for them. That's twofold, Kay. My question when I first heard that, when you guys were talking about it, was what happened? And I tried to investigate myself, but we could not find information like actually coming from the employer side. But the first assumption that we have was all the spots were filled and the agencies have overfilled the spots because of the pandemic. There was a pandemic scare that we're going to lose a lot more nurses bedside, right? But on the other end of the coin, I was also thinking some nurses could have also played the game again, you know, because I've heard of hospitals before, K, way before I was an admin in Lifora, that the hospital cut the contract with agencies because nurses bought out. Like they came over here without less than a year, they bought out. So the hospital's like, we're not gonna hire Filipino nurses anymore because they bought out their contracts. They left for California and we're over here, Critical Access Texas Hospital. We don't even have nurses and we paid for these people for money. So something like that. That may be the other side of the coin too. So it really hurts nurses, future nurses, because now hospitals and employers are more critical, right? And they can actually mark up these prices too because of that. So it's twofold. It's affecting both sides. It's a lose-lose situation for both. So no, we're not representing nurses with intent to commit fraud. We're not. I'm not. K is
Yeah,
not.
not yeah. And we're here to represent ethical recruiters too. So if you're a
Yes.
good ethical recruiter, we stand by
Thumbs
you.
up.
Do the
Yeah.
yeah,
Thank
we will promote you. We will
Thank you
promote
for
your
doing the
company.
right thing
Yeah, and
for our
doing the right
nurses.
thing. Because ethical recruitment in the business is a win-win situation if both parties really adhere to the terms and all of us are being transparent, right? It's very hard to really pinpoint sometimes, but I would say there is a study though, or not a study, there was an investigation of the Department of Labor when they did the investigation of employers who have violated the labor laws. 80% of the long-term care actually violated labor laws. So
Yeah,
there's an actual, I'm not making this up, there's an actual investigation in that. 80% of the investigation came up that the employer violated labor laws, okay?
Yep.
So what it
Even the
means,
locals, they do that, okay?
yeah, they do that to locals. So the contract, majority of this contract, or I would say all of this contract, actually stating there that the employer will have to follow federal law, state law, your county or local laws, and labor laws, okay, of the United States. So if those 80% of the employers actually got international nurses, and the nurse has no idea that their labor laws were violated, then somebody's breaking the contract here, right? So what I'm saying there is sometimes it's not always the nurses. Sometimes, and actually most of the time, it's the employer. But I will say nobody's perfect. It's just who has more violations. In my experience, Paul, after being in the force for 2 years, I have seen an enormous amount of employer. Because imagine if they will hire a thousand, I mean, if they hire 300 employees, they're bringing here 300 employees and they're not giving them paid orientation. 100% of that nurses were already violated. So how many of those nurses who will actually have the intent to leave right away? I'm not going to say 100%. I don't think all of them has the intention to leave, but 100% of them were violated already. So when you look at the ratio of the bad apples of nurses and the bad apples of recruitment, I can 100% say and guarantee that it's going to be more among the employers, okay? Because I have my firsthand experience here. I have sit down and talked with more than 40 agencies of staffing as a staffing nurses and travel nurse, and I can tell you only five of them out of more than 30 were actually being transparent and true. A lot of the agencies that I work with, either they gave me false information, they bait and switch, what do you call this? They gave me advices that were not accurate and affected my income. They also did not want to pay me orientation. A lot of them, actually, a lot of them did not want to pay me orientation. And a lot of them also would want to pay me only $8 per hour for orientation. Right? And they're saying, oh, orientation is not billable by the hospital. Well, it's your contract with the hospital. That's not my contract. My contract is I'm paid by the hour. So if you're not billing the hospital, you chose that business model because probably you want to get that contract because you're the cheaper company, right? So if you made a deal, business deal like that, that's on you as a business owner, but you still have to pay me as an employee. So when I heard that Department of Labor investigation, that 80% of the employer had violated labor laws in the long-term care setting, I look at it like, what are the chances of these nurses landing on those jobs that are violated? High likely, right? I mean, there's only 20% good employers that you will possibly land. Are you landing that 20% employer, or you're landing that 80% employer? So the likelihood that you're going to land a bad employer is high likely, 80% chances, right? So what I'm saying here is, these nurses come and they said they're going to buy out their contract. And I said to them, do not say buy out the contract. I recommend you presenting this data, the information, the facts, why you feel like you're violated. Talk to the lawyer, and maybe it's not you who's breaching the contract. Maybe it's not you who has the obligation or failed the obligation. Okay, the word there is who failed the obligation of the contract or the terms of agreement. So who failed? So this is something that you will need to sit down with a lawyer because a lot of these nurses are scared to sit down with a lawyer, like you said, Paul, and they're thinking it's very expensive. Actually, a lawyer is like a dentist. You go there, have your consult to check up. All right? Now, the lawyer is not going to tell you go sue them right away. No. You go to a dentist, they don't tell you like, oh, we're going to have root canal already today. No, it doesn't go like that. Paul, we visit you. Paul, do you tell us we're going to do surgery right there and then when we go for a consultation?
No, no, no.
Yeah. No, right? So we go
Gotta
from property
evaluate properly first, yeah.
evaluate property first. So again, and how much does it cost? It doesn't cost a lot, versus the amount that you're willing to pay. A lot of people are willing to pay just $10,000, even if they're being violated. So the incentive of that is now, as an employer, if I can make the nurses pay for their mistakes, I mean for my mistakes, sorry, then I'm gonna keep on doing this business. I'm gonna keep on making mistakes and make the nurses pay. And what will happen? Well, the whole industry is gonna be like messed up already,
Yeah,
right? So again, when you are planning to execute the termination clause of your contract, the first thing you should do is consult a lawyer. And the lawyer is just going to do a consultation based from your situation, and it's not going to cost you thousands. Some of them charge 250, some 150, some $500. It depends on your location. Of course, a more expensive one you will get from New York City, but New York City is not going to be the same price when you are in Rochester, New York, or let's say upstate New York, right? Because Manhattan, if you get a lawyer from Manhattan, that's a very co high cost of living. These lawyers are paying for a rental in a building that's very high. Whereas if you get a lawyer from Idaho, that's a little, more, cheaper lawyer, depends on the experience also. So again, consultation's not going to cost you, should not cost you more than 500 per hour. Okay. If you have all your documents ready for them to review, that will save them time asking you because you're already presenting it. If you want to make it more cost efficient, make sure your papers are all organized.
Yes.
And then after the consultation, that's the only time that they're going to review who have violated the terms of agreement, right? If they see that it's you, then they will discuss to you again the cost of this possible termination. The lawyers can ask you, what do you want us to do on your behalf? Do you want us to just talk to the other party? We're going to write an email, correspondence, talk to them, negotiate with them to reduce this, negotiate with them that this is the amount of money. What do you want us to do? So this is something that you and your lawyer should be discussing. Okay.
What type of lawyer, okay?
What type of lawyer, Paul? Because nursing immigration is very complicated. Okay, so it is you need to find at least a labor lawyer who knows
Labor.
immigration.
Yep.
I always say, that's a very good question, Paul. Like, what kind of lawyer are we going to look? I'm going to give you an example. If I'm a person who needs a Whipple surgery, should I be looking just any other doctor? No,
Clarify
right?
Whipple.
Right?
Pancreatic surgery, right?
Pancreatic surgery. If I'm having a pancreatic surgery, if I need my pancreas out because my primary care physician have referred me to the surgeon, right? And they said I have pancreatic cancer and needed it out. What's the next best thing? Is any surgeon can any surgeon operate on you? The answer is no. So who's the best surgeon that can operate on you? Will be your GI or your hepatobiliary surgeon. Okay, so you have to find that specific surgeon. In terms of
Yeah,
lawyers,
specialist.
you have to find that specialist who has background in labor and also in immigration. And there's not a lot of them. And the best way to do is really just consult one doctor, I mean one lawyer, and then maybe they will have referrals for you because they have a lot of network. Legal aid website is also there for resources. So do not please call the cost of quitting your contract is never, ever, ever 100% true with whatever is presented to you. Okay, do
Right.
not handle this by yourself. Termination of contracts should be handled by you and your lawyer, not just by you alone. Okay, I would never handle that by myself alone either. Even I have experience in negotiation and contracts, but I will never handle it alone either, right? I know this is a jam-packed discussion, Paul, and we can go on our comments to check on our viewers.
I wanna emphasize RK again. Well, thanks for our viewers, first of all. We have hold on, I've seen some people. Fissini is joining us from Ghana. He's one of my followers. Thank you. And we also have Jorly. Jorly is one of our followers. Tan is joining us from Cavite, Philippines. Right. RK, I'd like to highlight this because I agree, but I want to share my my insight as well. Few employers want to revive H1C. H1CK is one of the non-immigrant work visa that was sunsetted, I think, early 2011, 2012. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But this is already done. The Congress did not renew this, but H1C is a working visa that's non-renewable and maximum length is 3 years. One of my friends actually went through H1C, and then when her H1C finished, she could not get an employment visa. So she has to do the right thing. And I love her for doing that because she's a good example to a lot of immigrant nurses. She flew back to the Philippines, waited for her turn to get the EB3 visa. So 6 years later, she's back with EB3. It was frustrating on her part, but she did the right thing because I asked her, why did you go back to the Philippines and did not stay here? She said, if I lose my status, I risk losing the immigrant visa petition as well, which is correct, right? You don't want to mess up your status quo because you don't want to play with the immigration. They're federal, and the president himself could not overturn what the immigration services say. If they say you're deported, you're not qualified, you are not qualified because they're federal agency, correct? So they're independent. The other thing is the H1C is non-renewable. It's only good for 3 years, but there was only a maximum, like as to until when they could use that, right? So they were only able to use that for several years. So RK was pointing out here that a lot of employers want this because of retrogression, because it is faster. It is not based on cap or quota, or maybe there's quota, we don't know, but it's not going to wait for retrogression, right? But he also pointed out, which is, but all because of buyout situation, all right, of contract, which is a bittersweet situation because nurses are coming over here, is not fulfilling their contract, and then the hospitals are ending up with the same spot, right? They waited for the nurse. Less than a year later, they're ending up with the same spot. They don't have a nurse because the nurse left. They just paid them the money, right? Good to get the nurse faster, but employer has all the power. So this is where I'm putting in my insight. H1C is good. It's going to bring the nurses faster here, right? H1C is good because it brings the nurses much faster to the U.S. so they can start contributing to the healthcare industry, to the shortage, and also start earning that money that they wanted, right? But the problem here is the employers can also abuse this. Because they can put the nurses into an abusive situation like long-term care facilities. So I don't think nurses should be going that route anyway, because they control the situation. With the non-immigrant work visa categories, if they fire you, okay, you have several days. I don't know how many days, 30 or 60 days, to get another employer. Otherwise, you're out of status, right? Yeah. So the employer could literally tell you, are you going to do this or we're going to fire you?
Yeah.
That's what I feel strongly about, because it can also go sideways. You cannot tip the balance to the employer, right? I'm not against employers. Like I said, I admire employers that are very ethical. I've been through ethical employers, so I'm thankful for that. Or maybe I can just stand up for myself. But I'm just saying there are still bad tomatoes out there. We cannot always rely on trust because we trust the system so much. This is how we get nurses trafficked, because we rely on systems so much that we're thinking everybody's going to do the right thing. But the question is everybody doing the right thing? Okay, you tell me now, because there's a lot of lawsuits there, right? If everybody's doing the right thing, why are we getting all these lawsuits where employers or agencies are settling behind the scenes without, you know, publicizing it, because it's just easier to settle for $100 million when they earned $1 billion, something like that, right? So the point is, we want to balance the situation. We don't want too much power to employers, but we also don't want too much power to nurses to where it's tipping off the balance and employers are no longer hiring nurses. We have to find a win-win solution for both, where nurses are doing this contract in good faith and not buying out for the sake of buying out, because we're not selling visas. We're not, right? The U.S. is not in the business of selling visas. Otherwise, if you want to do that, then go the business route and be a business, what do you call that? Investor. There's investor visas, right? You have legal status. You just have to put probably $1 million. I don't know, right? So if you want to buy visa, that's the visa that you can buy with money, right? not the immigrant route.
Yeah, not definitely not the employer based. There is visa for investors. If you have money and you just pay it out, go to be an investor visa. Talk to the immigration lawyers, because there is available option for you to
that's
do the right
the
thing.
Visa that you can buy. It can buy with money.
Yeah, well, you have money. You have okay. Yeah. So the H-1C visa. I saw this one during my application back in I think 2004 when my application was submitted.
This was during our time, Kay, when right after our nursing. Yes. H-1C was the big thing. Like, we can bring you to the States in 6 months. That's what they sell. Like, if you're a nurse with 2 years experience, we can bring you to the States within 6 months. That's why everybody started doing nursing during my time, because of the H-1C visa. It was crazy.
And it's until 2009. And then 2009. Yeah, it was the recession of United States.
Yes, that was the
when the economy went down 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. So then they were hold. So so it's a lot of things to unpack here and that we have unpacked. But the best thing that you will always have to do is, you know, my last words for you is you have to read your contract very well before you sign. You have to research your employer very well before you sign a contract. Uh-huh. I know sometimes at the beginning it's like, you know, I don't have time to research. That's why I'm going to just let my agency do everything for you. That's totally fine.
Right, right.
Totally fine that let your agency do for you. You get your concierge, but still you have to know what they're doing for you. You still have to know the cost of what they're offering you. There's nothing wrong by saying, okay, I have kids. I don't know how to navigate around the local area. I don't know how to look for an apartment. I don't know how to book flights. There is nothing wrong with an agency or an employer or recruitment company offering that service. But what is wrong is if you don't know what you're signing up for and you don't know the services that you should be getting. And now you were... Your daughter
is looking for mama.
Yeah, so when you sign that and you don't know what you're signing for, that's wrong. You're professional nurses. You have the responsibility to understand what you're doing with your life. Okay, you're professionals. So I recommend you to always read. Do not sign yet, especially when the worst there is liquidated damages and liquidated damages. Future profits loss, legal fees, and other fees that deem necessary to be paid, okay, and collected. So I recommend you reviewing. Give yourself, if you have those contracts, give yourself at least 2 weeks to sign. 2 weeks.
True. Because if they're rushing you, then red flag, right? And anyway, thank you guys for participating. It's been a long day, Kay. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed this discussion, obviously, because the longer this episode, the more we enjoy it. Yep.
Yeah, so many numbers, and if you need the copy of these numbers, I'm gonna start putting them out in the fora. Okay. Feel free to join the fora. If you're not joined it, you haven't joined, feel free to join the fora. We have a lot of information for our international nurses there that sometimes the majority of your employers will not discuss to you, but we are happy to discuss whatever is factual. Okay?
Right. And Kay, I just want to plug before we end this Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central Time, October 9, I'm going to do a live Q&A session again on my page here in Facebook. So this is going to be Facebook exclusive. I'm gonna be answering questions about NCLEX or questions you might have about visa, immigration, NCLEX preparation, career, education, and more. This is gonna be 30 minutes to 1 hour. I'm also gonna award prizes, including NCLEX giveaways and tap taps and credits. And also the podcast, we have DNP Unlocked podcast available in Apple and Spotify. All the episodes from episode 1 through 46, because today is episode 47, K Cost of Quitting Contract. We're going to upload this in a few days. But guys, please follow us in DNP Unlocked podcast right now. Go to your Apple podcast or Spotify. We're also in Amazon and Samsung, Google Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts. We're actually live streaming this in YouTube right now. But guys, this is a very great resource for immigrant nurses that are already here in the U.S. or coming in here to the U.S. And also, I would like to thank my sponsor, TapTapSend. Please use my code when sending money from U.S. to the Philippines. Get $20 bonus on your first transfer. What I love about TapTapSend, K, is very fast remittance. You can directly send money to the banks or to GCash, which is the Venmo in the Philippines. Also one of the highest exchange rates. And that's from me who've tried 4 or 5 different apps. I like TapTapSend because they have the highest rates. And the best part, K, zero fees. No transfer fees. My mom loves it. I love it. It's super easy. It's like, you know, it's everything is digital now. TapTapSend makes it easier to send money to my family in the Philippines. I'm always assured that if there's something that they need, I can provide right away through TapTapSend. And use my bonus code DNP to get $20 bonus on your first transfer. Any last words, Kay?
Yes, last words. Never deal with legal documents by yourself. Documents, terminations are legal. Legal have legal consequences that needs to be addressed by a legal professional. Never DIY these things because DIYing, it will cost you a lot of money. And trust me on this. I have seen so many who have used lawyers that actually turn out favorable on their end. Okay? So please always, again, do not DIY this. Do not negotiate directly. You are not an experienced that. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars. The only, you know, it will only take you an hour to discuss this with a lawyer. It will take you about less than $500, depends on the hours that you spend for, $500 an hour, less than $500 an hour, versus paying $20,000. Okay, I'd rather pay $500 to get check than paying $20,000 that I know that it's not really reasonable. All right, so please do not do it alone. All right, the cost of quitting your contract depends on the providers that you choose, your lawyer, your team, yourself, your evidences. So please always make informed decision.
Right. And for me, my last words is the last words are do not sign a contract if you're not sure about it. If you have an intention to quit this contract, just don't sign it. We're all trying to like come into the U.S. in good faith. So if you, first and foremost, want to work in California, well, then don't sign a contract in Texas and use these agencies and employers, because it's just making the game bad for all of us. It paints a bad picture to us generally as immigrant nurses that we're trying to game the system, when in fact majority of us, probably 70, 80, 90%, are actually following everything in good faith, you know. So but you know, it's always the bad apples that get magnified and amplified in social media, especially information era right now where everything is digital and super quick. But guys, that's it. Don't sign a contract if you don't like the contract, if that's not what fits what you need. If you want to be closer to your families in certain states like California, then don't sign that contract with an intent to quit it. All right? Because two things. You're going to mess up the immigration system, and eventually they're going to make it stricter for everybody. And secondly, there's a cost. And like we said earlier, while I don't believe in indirect costs, the employers also have that right to impose that stuff to you. If it's going to be passing the court and they can eventually collect that money from you, it's up to them. But they can bully you into it and say, you know what, we're going to ask you for $400,000. Doesn't matter if you sue us, right? So yeah. Do you really want to go through that trouble? I don't, right? When I went here to the USK, I mean, immigration itself is already stressful for me. I cannot imagine myself having to go through a lawsuit in my first 3 years. Because honestly, I don't have the energy for it. I was just busy adapting to the American life because that alone already is a lot. So you don't want to go through it. Trust me, it's hard to come over here and have to worry about so many things. The mental stress is not worth it. So then, all right, go back to the root cause. Don't sign a contract that you don't intend to finish, period. That's it.
I agree. If I love, I'm an investor. When I calculated that, it's a loss of money. You know, it's a loss.
Because it's a lose-lose situation. You also lose from that.
However, if you're exploited, that's a different situation. It's a different scenario. Exploited and you're violated. Yeah. So always reach out to me. If I don't respond on Facebook, if you reach out to me and by Facebook, just to let you know that I'm still behind my messages because there's so many messages. I receive more than 20 to 30 a day. Okay, a day. And that's on top of my other life outside social media. So please share with me if this is a critical, reach out to a lot of other admins in the fora. And, you know, if it's critical need that needs to be attended to, you know, reach out to us, to the admins, not just me, because we have a lot of admins who will respond to you as well for needs like that. Okay. Thank you, everybody. You know, ethical practice comes both ways, nurses, recruiters, and employers, okay? Ethical international ethical recruitment will always be successful if those three groups work together. It's going to be a win-win situation, okay? So that's it. Have a wonderful week for everyone, and happy contract finding.
Bye. Bye.